Okay. We are in Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, as always, for more understanding and enlightenment as we read your word. And we thank you for all those who are listening and those who may listen, that our hearts and minds might be open to receive it. And we just thank you in advance for the edification that comes as we read and believe your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Romans 12. Paul says in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. When Paul says, I say through the grace given unto me, we know he talks a lot about his position that God had given him through grace. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said that we have received grace and apostleship. In Romans 16, he talks about the gospel that was committed to him. In Galatians, he talks about the gospel. In Ephesians, he talks about the gospel. And he talks about it in the sense that it was given to him by the grace of God. He is what he is. I am what I am. And by the grace of God, in the Romans in this day, they are what they are. And by the grace of God, we will be what we will be. But in verse 3, Paul says that I'm saying this because of the grace given to me, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, who better than to warn a man about being high-minded than Paul? Who better than to warn a man about thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think than Paul? Even his prior learning, he thought himself more highly, didn't he? In Galatians, he said, I excelled above many my equals. And his lifestyle in the flesh was something to brag about. It was something to tout, something to magnify. But Paul said, the things that I counted gain to me were lost to Christ. And when he received his ministry, his apostleship, Paul said that he was, well, let's look at that verse in Galatians. We'll pick and choose some of these verses in Galatians. And you can probably quote these verses, and we may come back to this anyway. In Galatians chapter 2, speaking about his meeting in Jerusalem, Galatians chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately despite our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And Paul is saying those who maybe were highly esteemed at one time, he said it didn't matter to me who they were. How could he say that? Because he was highly esteemed. Can I make that word? Highly esteemed. But Paul, he said, it makes no matter to me. God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. What was working in Peter toward the circumcision? And what was working in Paul toward the Gentiles. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. They saw the grace that was given to Paul. Did Paul walk around with a big sign that says, I got grace? No. There's something else that Paul was displaying that they were able to see. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are all so full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Notice the phrase he says here, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. 15 again. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister. Grace was given to him to minister. Another word for minister is servant. Grace was given to him to serve. Verse 17, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. We talk about the grace that they saw, and we'll look at another verse in a minute here. They saw the mighty signs in verse 18. They saw what was wrought. Paul told them about the things that was wrought by them, by word and deed, the mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what they saw. Acts 15, Paul talks a little bit more about it, about the grace that was given unto him. Acts 15, start at verse 2. Well, we might as well go back to verse 1. Start at verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. All things. They had declared all things that God had done with them. Verse 12, just for time. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring the grace that God had given them. You said what?
Yeah.
Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. That's the same thing as Paul saying the grace that was given him, the grace that was working in him. It's the Spirit that was working in him, and it was all related to the distribution or the dispensing or the ministering of the word of God. Now, in that, at that time, the word was accompanied with miraculous activity. Back to Romans 12, and we'll find out a little bit more about that. So back to 12, and he says in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So Paul could say that with some authority, because in whom was the grace of God working more than him? When God had chosen Paul to be his vessel, to be his minister, to be his apostle, and in him was displayed a great amount of grace, because in him was God was demonstrating not only all long suffering, but the exceeding abundant grace of God to make him a minister, to make an enemy a minister, and not just a minister. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says when he's rehearsing the resurrection, that he was also an apostle because he saw the resurrected Lord. That was one of the criteria that they had to see the Lord. Paul saw him in verse 1 Corinthians 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, or I'm going to say, which was measured upon me, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And when Paul said that the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, let me ask you a question. Could it have been in vain? Let me ask it a different way. Do you think Paul could have quit?
Sure. God honors free will.
Now, that sounds pretty amazing as we are reading this now, seeing Paul's track record and realizing when he got to 2 Timothy, when he says, "I finish my course, I've kept the faith." It's amazing to think that somewhere along the line, he could have said, "I'm done." But he said that grace was not in vain. If that's true for Paul, well, not just Paul, could the Lord in his walk on earth, in his ministry on earth, in his apostleship on earth, could he have quit at any time?
He sure could have.
Now, think about the grace that was working in those men. Now, modern day, we have the Holy Spirit. We have all the grace available to us, all grace available toward us. Can we quit at any time?
Yes.
What's going to keep us going?
Faith.
Faith. It's our not just
love.
Well, both of those. We might look at the verse, and it's not just the availability.
Yielding to the spirit.
Okay. And it's not just the availability of that grace that we have access to. It's the appropriation of that grace that we have access to. And Paul, back to Romans, Paul talks about, well, you know what, before we go there, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul being the minister, when he said, I magnify my office, and it's not just the doctrine that was given to him, it's also the grace that was demonstrated in him. You see, we don't have all the doctrine just to fill our minds with it. It's supposed to be an outworking of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, have I done wrong because I took the low road? Have I done wrong because I humbled myself among you? They wanted just like the Jews, when Christ came in, they wanted a superstar preacher. When the Lord showed up, they said, is this him? This can't be him. He doesn't fit the picture. When Paul showed up in Corinth, they said, is this him? He doesn't fit the picture. He didn't have a new car. He didn't have on a new suit. He didn't look that good. And they said, look at him. Now look at them.
They didn't realize he was going to be lowly.
They didn't realize that he was, and Paul said to the Corinthians, I was with you in fear and trembling. The other apostles, they did just what the apostles today do. They said, you want to see me? You got to book a date, and you got to have the money up front.
Pay a tithe.
And I want a red carpet. I want a chauffeur.
And I only fly first class.
And I only fly. Matter of fact, I need a private jet.
5-star hotel room.
And Paul is saying that, but though I be rude in speech. Now, you could compare this in Acts, where they said they wanted to make Paul and Barnabas a god, because Paul was the chief speaker. So Paul, when he was in Corinth, he dumbed down his language, because they were captivated by personalities. They were looking at all the wrong things. The power of God is not manifested in oration. It is manifested in the outworking of the Spirit. That's how it's manifested. Paul says, verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. That's the key, the knowledge. But we have been made thoroughly manifest among you in all things. Paul said, look at what I do. Paul says, I have committed offense. Verse 7, I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Is that today? Do we have ministers, bishops, apostles who want to keep themselves from being burdensome unto the those they minister to? No. Verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. When you look at the media today, just like in Paul's day, everybody says, I'm called. The Lord sent me. I'm an apostle. I'm a bishop. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. I'm a doctor, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's the Lord's servant, aren't they? But it turns out that they're not serving. They're the ones that are wanting to be served. And Paul says, we'll put an end to all that. We'll show you who the real servant is and what the real servant of God looks like. Use us as the litmus test. And here's the litmus test. Verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Here's his humility. This goes back to the 12 when Paul says, I'm saying to you guys, by the grace that's given to me, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. At best, you are a minister and a servant, and that's where you should, that's where your estimation should be. You're not a superstar. You're not the big man on the block. You're just a minister. And Paul says, verse 16, he says, I'm paraphrasing this. I'm going to talk about myself a little bit. And I didn't get this from the Lord. So Paul said, let me clear this up. This is not revelation. Although the Lord, he had that put in there, didn't he? Verse 17, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, here's the litmus test. You like your pastor, right? Your pastor, he's great. Now, we had a great pastor, and he was a great pastor, not because of his learning, and I'm sure he was a great husband. Not because he was like the best, or I'm sure he was a great father and a great man. But what made him all those things, what made him great was, and I'm saying this on his behalf posthumously, that he was a great servant. He would tell you, just like Paul, that I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'll say this, I don't know a man who outserved Pastor Watkins. I don't know in my circle. And I said this before, that he was the first man that I seen. And I was in my 20s. Paul said this, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of the water, of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. How many of the in perils would you have got to before you told somebody, said, okay, that's enough? But that's Paul, Paul says, wait a minute, I'm just getting started. how does your man line up with this resume? Paul says in 26 or 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Paul speaking of himself. Who is weak and am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever and evermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is, chapter 12, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, Paul is saying, he gave his resume of his sufferings. He gave a resume of his ministering, because that is the gauge of grace. Not the popularity, not the knowledge. It's the outworking of it. It's the ministering that's the gauge. And if any man will do his will, he's going to have some trouble from the populace. You see, God's will and his way, it's not the popular way. Now, I didn't say meeting wasn't popular. People come, they meet in assemblies now, but there's a lot going on in assemblies. And it doesn't fall under the category of ministering. You have a networking, you have some hobnobbing, you have some entertaining, you have some investing, but not a whole lot on the edification part. I had a teacher where she would say, you guys heard this, when you know better, you do better. But I'm going to say, when you grow better, you do better. This is not the knowledge, it's the growth in that knowledge. It's the yielding to that. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, when Paul besought the Lord thrice that the thorn in the flesh might depart from him, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my accomplishments.
Infirmities.
In my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me. Paul said, you made me talk like this. And really, what has he said? He said nothing incriminating. He's just showing them this is how much the grace is working in me. And maybe Paul looked at that as boasting a little, but he says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. Paul saying, you should be doing this. You should be telling others about this. Not me telling you. You should be telling them about me, not me telling you about me. Verse 11, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very, this is one of my favorite verses. For I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. That's when the deal goes down, when all the dust settles, the true measure of grace and the measure of the minister is he edifying you? That's what God wants, his concern is not education, it's edification. It's not just knowledge, but it's the growth he's after. Romans 12. Now, Paul, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And Paul could say that because, and I'm going to say this, and I'm speaking foolishly as Paul just did, because you're not going to outgrace Paul. And Paul is letting you know, he says, I don't think of myself more highly than I ought to think. I'm a chosen vessel. I'm a minister. I'm an apostle. I'm a teacher, a preacher of the Gentiles, and I am what I am by the grace of God. I just obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief, and you're going to minister and you're going to do what you do just like I did because of his mercy and his grace. It's not going to be that you bring something special to the table now. You know, I remember I told you guys this story. It was a guy in our class on Wednesday, and he's an older gentleman, and he would come in and always talk about his experiences, even when he was a child, how God did this for him and God did that for him. And I know, he said, I know I'm special to God because this is what happened to me when I was 7 years old. And then this is what happened to me when I was a teenager. And I thought, I said, well, let me say this. I said, as long as you think you're special to God, you'll never know how special you are to God. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, as long as you think then in your unregenerate state, if you think that you were special to God and he couldn't do it without you, you'll never know now that you're a believer how special you are to God, what he wants to do with you. Ephesians chapter 1, And I know he didn't understand it, because that takes a level of grace comprehension that you just don't get as a newcomer. You know what I mean? You have to, Ed, you have to see how worthless you really are to see now that you can be of some value to God.
That's right. And it takes time.
It takes time. Ephesians chapter 1, start at verse 11, and then we're going to go over to chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, you won't know how special you are until that redemption comes, until he finally picks it up, that body, and does with it what he wants. Ephesians chapter 3, start at verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How do you think that's going to happen?
By being transformed. Reading, intake, okay. Understanding.
Right. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, there it is, by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Paul is again praying that we have, in verse 17, 18, the comprehension of how important we are going to be. This was in chapter 1 also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, to wrap that thought up, if the gentleman in the class, if he knew that God had an inheritance in him, that he was God's inheritance after his trusting him, then he would not make a statement like he made, that I know that I'm special to God. No, you were a child of wrath, even as others. Only after those who believed that we have a predestination that has been laid out for us to be special. Romans 12. Paul said it again. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, that's not saving faith, because he's already talking to believers. So it's not faith for salvation. Is faith for service. And that's more, it's instruction. It's information that they are to walk in. Now, I'll say this before we look at another verse here. If God has not recorded these things, how are they to walk in them? If God has not given them a booklet of what to read and to do, that they would prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, if God has not given them a manual, so to speak, how are they to walk in it?
They're not.
They're not. What they get now is a supernatural. You know, when Paul said this, that if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then he says something. He says, as I wrote afore in few words. You know, in Paul's day, this was real time. He's the apostle, and as he's writing the parchments and the scriptures, he's writing these things that now we have them. But until that comes, this is transmitted by spirit, by prophet, by ministers. Do you notice this in Paul's epistles? Even though they're not in chronological order, in Corinthians, you see the supernatural gifts. You see the nine gifts, and they're more charismatic than they are in Romans, aren't they? When I say charismatic, you have, well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
The Jews require a sign.
The Jews require a sign. Verse.
Where are we?
We're in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just start at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. That's the same way of saying there's a different measures. There's different amounts of grace metered out to each member of the body at that time. And they were all for a purpose, for the purpose of edifying. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. That's when I say charismatic, here it is. The gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, how many times have you heard this today where somebody will say, I have the discernment of spirits? No, you don't. Or they're speaking in tongues. You never heard anybody say they have the interpretation of tongues, have you? They'll run off at the tongue, but there's nobody there to interpret it. How about the gifts of healing? You seen anybody with the gift of healing that didn't have a DR in the front of his name or an MD on the end of it? Have you seen any? Have you heard of any?
Oh, yes. A lot of claims.
Let me rephrase that. Have you heard of any with validation?
No.
Can you say he is a healer and I can vouch for him? Do you know one? I didn't say 10. Do you know one? No. Now, and your friends who say they know one, they don't either. But you get in Corinthians, you see this. In Romans 12, and we're, these are for weeks to come. In Romans 12, verse 9, or verse, Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness? What's different from the group in 12 and this group?
Edification.
That's the focus, isn't it? The information is the focus now. All the miraculous content that you saw in the charismatic gifts in 1 Corinthians, they're not here. So God tells us what's more important to him. God tells us what he's focused on. And even more so in Ephesians, when you look over at Ephesians chapter 4, it's narrowed down even more. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Start there. When Paul comes down to Ephesians 4, he talks about in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You see how that focus narrows down? If nothing else, you can deduce that what the thing that God is most concerned about is you getting information from him. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, they all have to do at that time. Their job was to get you this. Thus saith the Lord. That way, when you find out what thus saith the Lord, you won't walk around in ignorance. You won't walk around unperfected or unprepared. With that said, we'll have to stop there and pick back up at 12 next week and make a little more progress through the passage. So we're going to stop there, close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and recording these things for our edification. And we pray as we look into these things that our understanding might become more and more fruitful, and it would be for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.